With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I do not understand this football name in America. How many of kicks is there in the football game? Six kicks?
I'm going to say it once and hopefully I'm wrong, but it's a disaster waiting to happen.
I love all of those things with the piggy skin and the men running around. So much screams and then a toss and then everyone is in a large, large hill.
A star is born in the NFL.
I like the moxie, but more importantly, I like the poise and the noise.
Oh, what are you doing? You gotta be beeping me.
It's Jonathan Elway. He was so sassy and cool.
And hey, guys, I'm a cowboy. Bang, bang, sling, sling, toss, toss. I'm going to lose all the time. And then I win. And then he leaves as he wins. You cannot beat this.
From Munich, Germany, the Broncos and Bratwurst podcast with Kevin Gilligan.
Yes, I'm Kevin Gilligan, born and raised in Denver, Colorado, lifelong Broncos fan. I recently moved to Munich, Germany, but as they say, distance makes the heart grow fonder, and so I still love them and love talking about them, even though it's from across the pond. Hello, my fellow Broncos fans. Very happy New Year to all of you. And a not-so-happy New Year to Vance Joseph and his staff, though Vance Joseph is the only one who's been officially fired. I know the rest are likely out the door as well. Musgrave, Woods perhaps will stay as defensive coordinator. That'll be an interesting thing to watch, and probably depending on what coach is brought in. There are plenty of rumors circling around on who's going to be the next Denver Broncos head coach. And I want to give major props to the MileHighReport.com staff that have somehow managed to keep on top of everything, even during the holiday season. I mean, crazy, crazy bunch of news for the Broncos during the holiday season, and these guys and gals have been on top of everything. So, plenty to talk about today. I'm still recovering from the holidays. I imagine most of you are as well. So I'm waking up a little bit again, you know, trying to find my football legs. It's a strange time of the year right after the season ends, obviously, that you're kind of getting into that groove of thinking postseason rather than regular season. You know, all these other teams are in the playoffs and we're not, so you're getting over that depression a little bit, you know, that sadness that we're not in it. But you also have that excitement of, hey, we have a new beginning. Like the new year, we have a new beginning for the Denver Broncos. We have a lot of hope in what could possibly be, just as there is every season. I mean, we don't know what this team's going to do, but of course we're hopeful, right? You have to be hopeful. And the team has a lot of problems. It has a lot of things it's got to fix. But I think we do need to trust John Elway. We need to trust that, you know, yep, he did make a mistake with Vance Joseph, but he's also brought, you know, two Super Bowl appearances, one of the greatest offenses, one of the greatest defenses of all time within the last 5 years. So we have to give him the benefit of the doubt, and we have to trust that this time around he's going to find the right guy. Now, I think a bit of an issue this season, or this offseason, I should say, is that there don't seem to be that many hot candidates at head coach. There have been a couple guys already rumored to be coming to interview for the Broncos. Of course, we're going to talk about them in depth later on. And I want to talk about later on in one of the segments about the three different paths that the Broncos can take. And I'm not just saying with the coach, not with just with the quarterback, but in general. And I mean, if they should rebuild, partial rebuild, or stay the same. Then we're going to talk about that in the next segment. But let's talk about a little bit about the season, you know, but a little recap, you know, what happened. And it's kind of that post-mortem, right? It's a season that died. It's a season that ended in failure, you know, with only 6 wins. It's not a season that we're going to look back fondly on. And most people, because of Vance Joseph, and then fairly so, I think Vance Joseph was not a success in Denver. And interestingly enough, he's been rumored to be interviewing for the Cincinnati Bengals head coaching position. He has a bit of a history, obviously, with the Bengals. And they like him a lot. I could see him becoming a head coach. Either way, I have no doubt he'll be a defensive coordinator. The players all seem to really be sad that he's leaving. And I think that Vance Joseph did get a bad rap. Everyone knows my opinions on Vance Joseph. I think he was put in a tough position. He was a guy who wasn't quite ready to be a head coach. And John Elway came out and took the blame for that. And I give John Elway credit. I mean, there are not many GMs who take the blame. And I, just a few podcasts ago, I think maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, was saying that this team lacks accountability. They lack someone to say, hey, this is on me. This is my problem. And the fact that John Elway came out and said, hey, yep, you know, this is me. This is my fault. This comes back to my feet. And I appreciate that. I think that's where this team needs to start. And so if John Elway can say, hey, yep, this is on me, now they need to rebuild. They need to find a new identity. And Elway's the guy to do it. Now, I think that this is probably Elway's last chance to get a winning team in Denver again. Now, that's saying a lot. It could mean, you know, 10 years of a chance, depending on the coach they hire. And that's something else, again, we got to talk about. What does this team, what direction do you want to go in? If you decide to bring in someone like Gary Kubiak as offensive coordinator, I don't believe that's a long-term solution, because he's a guy who's proven that he can't really stay healthy. He's not a long-term, you know, person on the sideline. And if that's the case, I don't really like the idea of him going on the sideline. But again, Elway's even kind of hinted that Gary Kubiak will be back on the sideline. Now, I don't know if I necessarily believe it. I think Elway is open to anything. I think he's open to bring in a head coach who wants Gary Kubiak. Some guys that would make sense with that are obviously John Harbaugh. I think Mike Munchak has some history with Gary Kubiak. Anyway, yeah, we'll talk about it a little bit later. Again, you know, the 23-9 loss to the Chargers was kind of what we expected, right? What is there to recap about this game? I mean, the Chargers are a better team. They were playing for something, at least in the first half. They had a chance to be the number one seed in the AFC if Kansas City lost. Of course, Kansas City whooped up on Oakland, so San Diego ended up as the wild card team. I think San Diego is a good team. I like their chances going into the playoffs, though I think they are not playing their best football right now. I think they need to figure something out on both sides of the ball. They're not playing with particular, I don't know, passion or I don't know, the right composure, perhaps. And Anthony Lynn is their head coach. He's going to have to figure that out. Now, Phillip Rivers had a decent game, but, you know, two interceptions that were really bad throws, I thought. And he's going to have to clean that up if they want a chance. And I don't root for LA going into the playoffs, but I would much rather see them than Kansas City. I've already said in the past that I'm a big Phillip Rivers fan. I know on the field he's kind of a whiny baby, but I actually appreciate his game. I appreciate what he's brought to the NFL for so many years. And he's a guy, as a person, I would like to see him win. I mean, the Chargers, I don't because, you know, they're the AFC West. They're one of our rivals, and they're a team I strongly dislike. But Rivers, I could root for him. Now, what other teams, you know, who am I rooting for in the playoffs? I would like to see Chicago go deep. As I've said before, I think they're a team that this Broncos organization should try to build a team similar to that, bring in a cheap quarterback, a young quarterback, and build around the defense. Now, we'll see if that's what they do. That obviously one of the head coaching candidates, I shouldn't say obviously, I mean, I should say the head coaching candidates that have been rumored to come into Denver already. Let me do that first before I go any farther. Chuck Pagano, obviously past head coach with the Indianapolis Colts. He's got some defensive background as well. Vic Fangio, he's the guy who's the defensive coordinator for the Chicago Bears, been a defensive coordinator for, I think, 19 years. So just unbelievable amount of history and experience on the defensive side of the ball. Has the number one defense in all of football with Chicago. Brian Flores is the new defensive coordinator for the Patriots. That's a really interesting selection, in my opinion. And then another very interesting one is the LA Rams quarterback coach, Zach Taylor, really young guy. Boy, he looks like he's about 20. And I would bet that Elway wants to bring in someone who has the possibility of being a Sean McVay type. Obviously, Taylor is a guy who's coaching under Sean McVay at the moment. And so maybe Elway's just trying to bring in someone who might be lightning in a bottle. Now, again, we're going to talk about coaching later, but the Broncos have to find the guy that they can build on for the next 10 years, not for the next two. We can't keep plugging in people and going 2 years, 2 years, 2 years as head coach, because it's a really difficult thing for players to come in, learn a system, and then 2 years later, it's changed. And I mean, on offense and defense, I mean, it's not easy learning a playbook. It's not easy learning the language of coordinators. And that being the case, the Broncos have to find someone who's the future at coach. And of course, that's what we always say, but I don't think Elway has done a great job of trying to plug in the right guy in the last several coaching searches. I mean, I shouldn't say the last several. Geez, I mean, Gary Kubiak won a Super Bowl and then had to leave because of health issues. So I guess more of the problem was Vance Joseph was a guy that they just picked even before they interviewed anybody else. And they liked Vance Joseph. And it seems Vance Joseph had some things to recommend himself. He must have. He must have. Come on. We have to give Vance Joseph that benefit, because John Elway's not an idiot. John Elway and the front office of the Broncos have been successful in the past, so you can't tell me they're just all of a sudden these morons who hire an idiot. Now, yep, Vance Joseph was not the greatest coach ever on the Broncos sideline. I agree. But he obviously has some leadership abilities and different abilities as coach that perhaps if the Broncos had stayed healthy, if they had not had such a bad and brutal schedule, maybe he would have had more success. And it's a big maybe. I get it. Vance Joseph's gone. I'm glad he's gone. I'm glad. I mean, I don't like the drama of having a guy that is not, you know, loved and respected and doesn't seem to really get it on the sideline. And he didn't. I mean, excuse me. I'm fighting a little bit of a cold here in the holidays too. He obviously made too many mistakes, and so yeah, he needs to go. But Elway needs to do a real honest to goodness coaching search, and I think he's figured that out now. That bring in guys who have all sorts of different experiences, guys who are from different backgrounds, guys who can bring different things to the team. And again, in the next segment, we're going to talk about the three different possibilities of the team moving forward. And I believe that Elway has to choose one of these directions and then choose the coach and then choose the quarterback. And so a lot of it is based on quarterbacks and coaches. And again, if you look at the NFL and you look at the teams that are in the playoffs in the NFL here in 2019, you almost always see either a good coach or a good quarterback or a great quarterback or a great coach. And you have to have at least one of them to be successful. That's the story of the NFL. Now, you know, what's that going to take for the Broncos? We'll find out. It's hard to find a great coach. It's hard to find a great quarterback, especially this year. There just aren't that many. But you look at the Colts, Andrew Luck, Texans, Deshaun Watson, Seahawks, Wilson, Cowboys. Cowboys, maybe they're a good example. I don't love their coach and I don't love their quarterback. Chargers, Ravens. Ravens are another interesting team. John Harbaugh, he's a guy that the Broncos were interested in. If the Ravens had missed the playoffs, perhaps Harbaugh would have been let go. by Baltimore, but it doesn't seem like obviously that's going to happen now that they are in the playoffs after a last second win over Cleveland that clinched their playoff berth. Harbaugh is a guy that the Broncos probably now would have to trade for, and I just don't see that happening. I mean, he makes sense because he has connections with Kubiak. He's a guy who's very well respected around the league with players, with other coaches. But if he's not available, I think we have to put him off the list. And I think that he's a guy who's just, he's not going to be the future of the Denver Broncos, which is a shame. He's a guy I think many of us would have liked to see at least bring stability back to the organization. Other teams playing this week, Eagles, Bears. Eagles are another very interesting team. They kind of snuck their way into the playoffs again. Interesting team. I mean, they're a Super Bowl champion. And Peterson has been a good coach. I don't know if he's a great coach. He's a good coach. And then you have Nick Foles has somehow seemingly been a better quarterback than Carson Wentz. Nick Foles is a guy who perhaps will be available next season. I don't know if any Broncos fans would like him, but he's a guy who plays big in big games. I mean, that's someone that I would like to have. Someone who's clutch. Someone who shows up. Now, Keenum has somewhat been that guy who's been a Tebow ish type quarterback who shows up in the fourth quarter and doesn't show up in the first three quarters. But I don't know. I don't know about Keenum. To finish off this segment, one of the quotes that John Elway said also in his press conference was that someone asked him about the quarterback situation, and he said something like, "I'll go out and shake the tree and see what falls out quarterback," which is definitely not a very high recommendation for Case Keenum at quarterback. So Elway clearly doesn't trust Keenum, which makes me believe, you know, why is he going to be here next year unless you're going a partial rebuild and trying to be successful in 2020. But again, we're going to talk about that in the upcoming segment. The next segment, what are the Broncos' options moving forward? Full rebuild, partial rebuild, or staying exactly the same? We'll be right back. So, as John Elway has decided that Vance Joseph is not the guy to lead this team into the future, as 99.9% of Broncos fans would concur, what are his options? What are the different courses, the different paths that Elway can take for this team? And I think that there are three different paths that really open up many different avenues and different ways to approach the offseason, to approach the new head coach and approach a new quarterback. I'd say Broncos option number one for their offseason and for their future. This is a big, big change in course, a big, big identity shift for the Broncos. And number one, stay the course. This means you stay pretty much pat. You say the team, the way the team is going right now in terms of talent, is good enough to win in the near and distant future, especially the near future. So that means you're keeping Case Keenum, at least for one more year. You believe that he's a guy who can lead your team to victory and to the playoffs if provided a little more talent and a little more health on offense especially. Now, if you go with this course, who is the most likely head coaching candidate? And in my opinion, it's a guy who has not been rumored as a candidate so far, and so he might actually more likely be the offensive coordinator for someone else you bring in. But John DeFilippo is the guy who I believe would be a likely coach because, of course, he had a lot of success with Case Keenum in Minnesota for Case Keenum's 1 year that was a good year in his NFL career, and Keenum's been in the NFL for a long time, and he's a journeyman guy, but he had a great season in Minnesota. He really did. I mean, you go back and look at his tape, you look at his stats, and it was above average. Now, this year, I think he's around 30th in the NFL in about every statistical category, which is obviously terrible. Now, if you've decided that Keenum is your best option this year, and there aren't that many options at quarterback, let's keep that in mind. If he's your option, then yeah, I think you bring in Philip DeFilippo either as head coach or more likely as offensive coordinator. Now, I think it makes more sense if you bring in DeFilippo as offensive coordinator. He can build the same system that he built for Keenum in Minnesota. And then you bring in someone on defense like Vic Fangio from Chicago. and you decide that, hey, this team is going to go back to the 2015 glory days, and you build around Von Miller, Chubb, Chris Harris Jr., etc. Now, that's not a bad idea. I think building around this defense and really trying to become, again, a defensively dominant team is a good way to win in the NFL, and I think we're going to see that in the playoffs. I'm really interested to watch the playoffs this year and see which teams have success. Is it going to be your high-flying offenses like Kansas City and New Orleans, or is it going to be more like teams like the Texans and the Bears that have these solid defenses or great defenses that keep your teams in games and let your quarterbacks every now and then make the big plays? And I think that is more likely the scenario that wins in the playoffs, and the Patriots have done it for years and years. That they, I mean, so, okay, the Patriots do it all sorts of different ways, but oftentimes it's because they have a good defense and a quarterback who is clutch and gets it done when he has to get it done. So staying the course, I think that the best option in that case again is Vic Fangio and John DeFilippo as offensive coordinator. Now, option number two, this is maybe even a little more likely, according to John Elway's quotes that he's already said after, what, 2 days after the end of the season. So number two is partial rebuild. This means no more Case Keenum at quarterback. You're going to bring in a new quarterback, if it's a free agent, if it's a rookie, and you're going to probably get rid of a couple other guys, maybe Sanders, because, I mean, he's hurt anyway. Maybe, perhaps, you're going to get rid of a guy like Chris Harris Jr., which I don't think you do that because they don't have any other cornerbacks anyway. So I think, in my opinion, no matter what, you keep Chris Harris Jr. You're going to probably get rid of some other guys like maybe Derek Wolfe, et cetera. Some guys who are not really the building blocks of this team, you know, the foundations, but guys who have been here a long time and are beloved members of the team. And I think either way, you're probably going to see guys like Brandon Marshall and others go, Shaq Barrett also. Now, if you do this and you go for a partial rebuild, new quarterback, I think it seems to me the most likely you're going to bring in Gary Kubiak as your offensive coordinator, because it seems, again, like Elway is somewhat hinting that he would like Kubiak to be back on the field. Now, I don't know if I agree with this. I think Kubiak's offense is solid, but you really have to have the talent around it to do it. You have to have the right quarterback. And if Kubiak is the choice at offensive coordinator, it makes sense that you bring in a guy who has experience with the Kubiak offense and a guy who actually had a very good year in the Kubiak offense, and that's Joe Flacco. Now, I'm not a lover of Joe Flacco, but again, he's a guy who has had experience and had success in the Gary Kubiak scheme. So I think that's probably the likeliest option that you go if you decide on a partial rebuild. Now, I don't think Gary Kubiak's going to be your head coach. I think he's said fairly strictly that he's only going to be an offensive coordinator. I don't think he can handle the head coaching responsibilities with his health. And so I think maybe, I don't even know who you bring in. Maybe, again, you bring in Vic Fangio. You bring in perhaps Mike Munchak. I think I missed Mike Munchak in my coaching candidates. He's a guy who also rumored to be interviewing with the Denver Broncos. He's a past head coach with the Tennessee Titans, not a very good record with them, I think well below 500, but he's very well respected in the league. He's known as being a great leader of men. And so if you're going to build around Kubiak and Kubiak bringing in an offense that can bring some firepower and bring some at least respectability back to that side of the ball, then perhaps a guy like Munchak, who has, I believe, also a history with Kubiak, that would be a likely option. Now, also, I've heard rumors of Chuck Pagano. Pagano is another guy who I think he's respected. He's a guy who's a leader. His players like him and play hard for him. I don't think he's got the best. He's not regarded as being the best play caller. So maybe you need to keep Woods, who I think actually had a respectable year as a defensive coordinator in Denver, and then bring in Gary Kubiak as your offensive coordinator. And then again, you're building around Kubiak's offense and Joe Flacco. This is option number two, and I think it's a solid option. It's not one I love. I don't think it's not one that most people are going to love, because Joe Flacco is a name that most Denver fans despise. And he's His numbers in the last few years, especially, are very weak. But Kubiak could make him come back and be a at least serviceable quarterback for the next few years. That's a partial rebuild. So number three, this is the most insane. This is the craziest, but it's one that is circling around the Twitterverse and around the airwaves, especially in Denver. And it's one that most people really don't like and don't want to hear, don't want to talk about, but it is an option, and that is the total rebuild. Total rebuild. That means John Elway says this team, as we have it right now, is not going to win. We need to blow it up completely. As I have said, and Skipper Dude has said, we need to go full Chucky. That's a trademarked little line there. Go full Chucky like John Gruden in Oakland. And they need to blow it up, and that means trade everybody. Trade the farm. You need to trade Von Miller. You need to trade Chris Harris Jr. You need to get rid of Emmanuel Sanders and build from the draft, build on your youth, and most importantly, go back and completely rebuild your offense and your offensive line. Now, this makes sense in some ways because this offense really needs a complete reshaping, and I don't think anyone can disagree with that. But the good thing is there are some guys to build around. Of course, the rookie running backs this year were phenomenal. I think Courtland Sutton is a very talented guy. Deshaun Hamilton, I think, is a guy who can be someone who can be part of this offense, maybe not a star, but a good receiver. And if that's the case, you need to bring in probably a rookie quarterback. I know a guy that John Elway and Gary Kubiak both like is Drew Lock from Missouri. He's one of the top guys likely coming out in this year's draft. He's a quarterback. He's a John Elway type quarterback from all I've heard. He's very raw. He has a lot of talent, a lot of arm talent, but he's not particularly a finesse guy. He's not very accurate. He's perhaps not very good with post-snap reads. Now, I don't love that because it sounds like the guys that John Elway has brought in the recent past, that's Osweiler, that's Lynch, and obviously they have not had any success. Now, excuse me, man, oh man, this sickness will not leave. Anyway, if they go full Chucky, total rebuild, and trade everybody, I think the best possibility in that case is to go out and bring in one of these college head coaches and totally start new, start fresh, start with a totally different look for the entire team. And I think the best way to do that is not bring in a retread coach and not even a coach who is from the NFL. That's somebody like this Cliff Kingsbury. He is the offensive coordinator at USC. He's a very highly touted guy, a guy who has a very college offensive mind. He spreads the ball. He's supposed to be a quarterback whisperer, especially for young guys. You've also got Peterson up in Washington. He's been doing it for years. He's really kind of a front runner in building new offenses. Jim Harbaugh is also a guy I've talked about in the past, a guy that obviously has the resume. He's had success in college and in the NFL. And I think that possibly with Harbaugh, he has some connections with John Elway through Stanford. I've also heard rumors and rumblings that Jim Harbaugh has no intentions of leaving college, no intentions of leaving Michigan State, or excuse me, Michigan. And that being the case, he's probably not even a candidate, but it's a possibility. And if you do that, if you trade Von Miller and you're getting some high draft picks, you're getting, you know, guys in the top 10, maybe you're getting, you know, two top 10 picks added onto the Broncos top 10. Now that's fairly extreme. Obviously you're going to get, I guess, one pick this year, maybe one pick next year. If you look at what Khalil Mack brought in for the Oakland Raiders. Now, do I like this? It's hard to say. I mean, I don't like getting rid of Von Miller, but as a guy who's an edge rusher, a guy who's a speed rusher, it seems that in the next few years, he's probably going to decline. Now, he's one of the greatest pass rushers I've ever seen, probably one of the greatest of our generation, and could be one of the best of all time. He's the face of the franchise. He's the face of the Denver Broncos. He's beloved in Denver. He's a good guy. He's a guy who gives to charities and gives back to the community. He's not a guy I want to see leave. I don't want anyone to think that. I don't want Von Miller to be traded, but I can see the logic behind it because he's taking up so much of your salary. And if you trade him, or yeah, if you trade him and bring in a young talent, maybe somebody in the draft who you think can be, you know, around the same level of talent as him, then it makes sense to a point because, again, you need to rebuild other parts of this team. Maybe you want to go and say, hey, our franchise identity, our team identity needs to be built around a high-flying offense because that's what the NFL has become. The NFL has become, you know, let's just outscore our opponents. Now, if you believe that or not, perhaps that's the way they go. And if that's the way you go, you have to build the offensive line. Maybe you bring in Gary Kubiak. If that's the case, then you need to have guys who can block and then likely the zone passing scheme. You need to bring in a quarterback who can play in Gary Kubiak's scheme and pass the ball down the field. So maybe that's Flacco, but I think it also could be one of these young guys, Drew Locke. Dan Jones. I'm not a very big college guy. Now is a time of year where I really start to watch college tape and say, okay, what's going on? Who are the possibilities? But during the season, I honestly don't pay a whole lot of attention because in Germany, it's a little hard to watch these games. So I apologize for not knowing my college guys very well. Plenty of our MHR guys, our Mile High Report guys and ladies have tons of really, really great reporting on the draft and on the possible talent coming out and the possible talent the Broncos could have. Now that I've said the three options, again, option number one, stay the course. You keep Keenum. You bring in a new quarterback and bring in new coach. You bring in John DeFilippo as your offensive coordinator. And number two, partial rebuild. You don't keep Keenum. You bring in probably somebody like Kubiak. Obviously, again, a new head coach and likely Joe Flacco as quarterback. Number three, a total rebuild. You trade everybody. You trade Von Miller and you go full Chucky. And probably bring in at least a young coach and likely a head coach from the college ranks. Now, I'm going to tell you in the next segment what I think the Broncos should do. And I would love to hear, obviously, in the comment section on MileHighReport.com, what you think the Broncos should do. All right. Well, the Skipper Dude is not on the show today, partially because it's his birthday. Happy birthday, Skipper Dude. He's got all of his family at home for the holidays, and so I don't blame him for not doing a segment. He does have some really great ideas. We've been tossing around some ideas of how the Broncos need to go about this head coaching search and how John Elway needs to have a different approach than he has in the last few. He needs to bring in different guys, and I'm hoping that Skipper Dude can at least come on next week and discuss his opinions on what the Broncos should do because he always has that great past, you know, he has that great different viewpoint. He really brings in a different approach, and his experience as a manager, etc., really helps to give a different idea of how the team should approach things from a management perspective. Now, before talking about what I think the Broncos should do, I would like to say that I am not very pleased with the Broncos coaching candidates so far. Now, I like Vic Fangio. I think he's a guy who could really bring a stud defense to the Broncos. I think he's a guy that defensive players would come here to play for. But he's also a guy who's been interviewing for head coaching jobs for forever. Okay, he's a guy that I know his name because he's always a coaching candidate and he's never gotten a job. And that worries me a bit. That tells me that there is something about him that general managers don't like enough. Now, I'm not saying he's not good enough, but there's obviously something that they don't like. Maybe it's his pedigree. Maybe it's his lack of offensive skills. Maybe it's his personality. I don't know, but there's something that they don't like because they've never hired him. He's always always the bridesmaid, never the bride, so to speak. And he's the guy I like the most, and that scares me a bit. I mean, these other guys, Chuck Pagano, I don't love Chuck Pagano. I mean, I think he had a talented team in Indianapolis that he didn't do anything with. Brian Flores, honestly, I think he's kind of your Rooney Rule guy. I think that's harsh, but he's a one-year defensive coordinator from New England. I wouldn't touch a New England coach with a 10-foot stick. I mean, no way. Please, don't. Even go there. I am a little disappointed they're even interviewing anyone from New England. I don't care who the guy is. I mean, look at the history of these New England coaches. They're terrible. The only guy who's had any success is Bill O'Brien. The rest are unbelievably bad. So please don't even think about hiring Brian Flores. Zach Taylor, again, in my opinion, that's just the possibility of getting lightning in a bottle. He's a young guy. I mean, I think you're hoping that he's this brilliant mastermind like Sean McVay, which I think is not going to happen in a million years. So, okay, Mike Munchak, he's maybe my number two guy. He's got a lot of experience. He's an offensive-minded guy, a good leader. So depending on who you bring in as an offensive and defensive coordinator, maybe Munchak is a guy that I don't mind. But I don't love that there's no wild card. I mean, okay, maybe Zach Taylor is your wild card, but they haven't had any guys coming in from the college ranks, which I think is kind of the sexy thing to do. It's the new ideal. It's where the NFL seems to be going, is more in this college style offense especially. And I think that being the case, they should at least bring in a college guy for an interview. Now, maybe obviously John Elway has some ideas that I don't know about. Maybe he's going to bring in Jim Harbaugh after the end of the college season. I don't know. Of course, we don't know all of John Elway's potential interview candidates, but right now the five or six that they've rumored to be bringing in are not guys that they don't really get me that excited. And that was exactly what worried me before they fired Vance Joseph, that if they fired Vance, that they were going to bring in someone who was a little better maybe. And you don't even know. If you bring in a guy like Mike Munchak or Chuck Pagano, they're guys who did not have success in the league. Now, okay, maybe you can blame that on talent. You can blame that on having a bad quarterback if you're Mike Munchak, etc. But they didn't have success. So immediately you have to prove to me and to the fan base and to the team that you're somehow a grown coach and that you're going to have success with a team that probably has even less talent than you did in Indianapolis and perhaps even in Tennessee. So I don't love either of those coaches. Vic Fangio and Flores and Taylor, these are offensive and defensive coordinators who've never had experience as head coaches in the league. And it's a crapshoot. It's a total crapshoot. I mean, it's just like Vance Joseph. Now, Vance Joseph may be a great leader of men. He may be a great defensive coordinator, but that doesn't make him a great coach, and he wasn't a great coach. And so anytime you bring in a guy who doesn't have coaching experience, it's a risk. So, of course, you know, if you want a for sure guy, a guy who is a, you know, no risk bet, it's someone probably like John Harbaugh, who has had plenty of success in the league. He has an NFL Super Bowl championship. And he's won year after year after year. Now, lately, he hasn't been as successful, but part of that is because they hitched their wagon to a quarterback who, in my opinion, is not very good. But they've had a great defense for many years. They're very consistent. And so, yeah, John Harbaugh is a guy I would love to see because he's a guy who has proven that he can win and that he can coach in the NFL. Now, he's probably not going to happen. So, in my opinion, my favorite guy who hasn't been mentioned, who isn't an interview candidate, is Jim Harbaugh. Jim, again, that's the guy from Michigan, the guy who had success in San Francisco with, yes, Colin Kaepernick. Now, Kaepernick, whatever you want to believe, whatever your political stance is, I don't care. Obviously, the NFL doesn't think he's talented enough to give him, you know, a chance. So I think that Jim Harbaugh made Kaepernick even better than he actually was. Kaepernick was a flawed quarterback. There's no question about it. I mean, don't go and tell me Kaepernick's this all-time great quarterback, even though some guys were doing that after his first or second year. He was a guy who took too many risks. He was a less talented Patrick Mahomes. And Patrick Mahomes, in my opinion, is going to hit a wall eventually. I mean, he had an unbelievable year. I think he absolutely deserves the MVP, no question. And it's unfortunate that he plays for Kansas City because he's a very, very, very good quarterback. But I think eventually, maybe next year, he's going to hit a wall because teams are going to figure out that he's a guy who makes these crazy passes across his body. They're going to learn that, okay, we can't let him roll right. If we make him roll left, then he's going to try these crazy left-handed passes, which are going to work sometimes, but are also going to cause him to really make mistakes. And when you cause guys like this to make mistakes, then, yeah, I think you're going to see they're not going to have as much success. Now, Kaepernick was similar to that, but he was a guy who really couldn't pass from the pocket. And when you can't pass from the pocket, you're just not going to have a long career in the NFL. And Mahomes, obviously, is a guy who can pass from the pocket and is absolutely going to have a long career in the NFL. Anyway, Jim Harbaugh is a guy that I think would be better than any of these other candidates because he's had success both in college, both in the NFL. And I think he's a guy who's a good leader. He's a good offensive mind. Maybe not great. Maybe he's a little weird. He's a little quirky. Maybe not all players love playing for him. But I think he's a guy who can kick a locker room into shape. So if you want to completely rebuild and have a guy to form your identity of the team, I think he's a good guy to do it. Now, I don't know if everyone would agree with me, but you know that's the life. That's what we're going to deal with for the next 6 months is speculating. Now, it'll be the next couple weeks before they hire a coach, likely, and I would love to hear different people's opinions, and it's an interesting thing to see what people like. It seems like the Mile High Report staff is mostly behind Vic Fangio, a guy who, again, is a very good defensive mind, I think a very, very good defensive coordinator. But for me, again, it's such a risk, and I don't know if John Elway's going to do it. He failed so badly with Vance Joseph, a guy without the experience, a guy with just a little experience of a defensive coordinator. So maybe that's different because Fangio's got extreme experience as a coordinator. And it seems to me like Elway's likely going to want someone who has experience, which means almost nobody from the college ranks and really only Jim Harbaugh. And I don't know if Harbaugh is even going to interview for any position. So anyway, back to the Broncos' options of staying the course, partial rebuild, or total rebuild. This is a tough question. I think, for my opinion, staying the course is not going to work. I mean, there's no sense in it. I think John Elway should not have stayed the course 2 years ago. I think he should have at least done a partial rebuild, but they really didn't, and they didn't trade anyone from the Super Bowl championship team. They lost a couple guys, but they put a lot of their money into a few players and then hoped on their young quarterbacks to succeed. And that's not a losing formula unless you pick a terrible quarterback, and that's unfortunately what happened. Now, since John Elway made a bad, bad pick with Paxton Lynch, that really changed the whole identity and the whole future of the team was changed when Paxton Lynch was a failure. And we have to recognize that. We have to recognize that John Elway did try to go the way of Seattle and LA, these teams who tried to build around a cheap young quarterback and build a great team around him with a great defense and et cetera. But the problem was that, of course, Paxton Lynch was terrible, so they had to bring in Trevor Siemian, who's a seventh-round player who was not good either, but they didn't have any other options. So when that was the case, they couldn't win now, and they were too late to rebuild. And so the rebuild is a really hard thing to do as a general manager, because if you go full, or even if you go partial, you're pretty much saying this next year is likely not going to be a successful season. Now, the problem is if you don't do a rebuild and you try to build off the team you already have and then don't succeed, you're in even worse shape than you would have been with a rebuild. And that's exactly what we've seen with the Denver Broncos, that they didn't go for the rebuild and they didn't have success anyway. And that's a big, big problem. And the main problem is if you bring in the wrong quarterback, if you bring in the wrong coach, your team will not succeed. And we've seen it all the time in the NFL. We see it where, I mean, count the places: Jacksonville, Tennessee, Tampa Bay, etc. There's so many places that they don't have the right coach, they don't have the right quarterback. Even if you have a ton of talent around them, it's just not enough to succeed. Look at Tampa Bay. They're such a weird team. They're one of the best offensive teams in football, but they had a coach who made too many mistakes. They had quarterbacks who made too many mistakes on, throwing interceptions, fumbling the ball. And they had a defense that couldn't stop anything. And it's a hard league to win in. It's a hard league to succeed. And staying the course is for me, not an option. I think Case Keenum is finished here. I think John Elway's been pretty honest about that, that he is looking for quarterbacks and shaking a tree to see what falls out. So let's move on to the partial rebuild. And this, to me, is the most likely scenario, the partial rebuild. This means no Keenum. This means bringing in Gary Kubiak as the offensive coordinator, which, again, Elway has hinted at. This means bringing in an experienced coach, which could possibly be Pagano, Munchak, or maybe Vic Fangio. And it means bringing in Joe Flacco. I think that's really, really likely at this point. In my opinion, that's what's going to happen. Now, on the surface, I don't like it because I don't like Joe Flacco. I don't think he's a very good quarterback. I think he's very flawed, but he was really good in the Kubiak system. I think he fits what the team actually needs. If you build a Kubiak system around this running game and then have Joe Flacco, who is a very good deep ball thrower, a guy who's good in the bootleg, a guy who is good in play action, I think they actually could be successful. And now, do I love it? No. I don't, but I love it more than staying the course. I like the partial rebuild because we know Keenum's not the guy. We just, you know, he's not going to have success in the long term or even in the short term. And so I think you bring in a new quarterback. I think that's likely Joe Flacco. And I think you likely go with Gary Kubiak and probably Vic Fangio as head coach, assuming Fangio doesn't take one of the other positions, which is also very possible. Let's keep that in mind. The Denver Broncos head coaching position is not the most enviable position in the league. Now, the final one, the total rebuild, trading Vaughn, trading everybody, going for an offensive or going for a college coach, I don't see it. I just don't see it. I don't think this team is, they're not there. I don't think Elway is a guy who's going to go and just blow things up. I don't think he's not John Gruden, partially because they don't have a head coach to build around. Now, if John Elway first goes and says, okay, I'm going to bring in Kingsbury from USC or going to bring in Peterson, then perhaps you completely explode and you say, okay, Kingsbury, Peterson, Harbaugh, you have 10 years to just do something with this team and we're going to blow it up and start fresh. But come on, does anyone see that happening? I don't see it happening. Now, there are benefits to trading Von Miller, but I think there are less benefits than there are downsides to it. I mean, he is a franchise player, one of the best players in the league, one of the best pass rushers in the league. And as we've seen, especially in the playoffs, you need pass rushers to get to the quarterback and pressure guys into making mistakes if you want to go deep in the playoffs and make it to a Super Bowl. So I don't think they're going to do that. So in my opinion, the best option, the most likely option for the Broncos in the offseason is a partial rebuild. No Keenum. You bring in a new coach, obviously. You bring in a new quarterback, and you bring in a new offensive coordinator who is probably going to be Gary Kubiak. What do you guys think? Agree? Partial rebuild? Let's do it, Broncos. Reached our last resort. I turned to him, said, man, help me out. I fear I'm on an island in an ocean full of change. Can't bring myself to dive into an ocean full of change. Am I losing touch? Am I losing touch now? He said, why, what a terrible time to be alive if you're prone to overthinking it. Why, what a terrible time to be alive if you're prone to second guessing it. Hey, pretty smile and be